project with our youth doing it. It also sets a good climate for them understanding about relationships, so we hope you can share in that way. You know, yesterday we had a wonderful time. We had about 90 to 100 men over in U-Turn, and it was a wonderful turnout for the film Courageous. I know, how many of you have seen that? Yeah. And I want to encourage you. Now, we're going to show that film again next Sunday night at 6 o'clock. And even though you've seen it, would you please use this as an opportunity to invite others to come? I promise you, if you've seen it, you'll want to see it again, too. You know, I've seen it three times now, and I'm laughing, and I'm crying. And there's so much of real life that's brought to the surface in this. So I want to encourage you to plan to come. If you have teenagers or you know teenagers, be sure to get them to come to this. Get couples to come, friends that you have at work. And we're in for an exceptional time for what the Lord will do. So I want to encourage you about that, give you just a little video clip of what that's about. Amen. the reality of that, and I'll tell you, there's so many aspects of what will touch your heart. And the one speaking there, a law enforcement man, to see the loss of their little child and how that touches hearts. The one dear brother, he talks about being a man of God, but he said, I never knew my biological father. I was one of six. The man you saw kneeling and handing a gift to the little daughter, that was a young lady he impregnated while he was in college, and he told her to get an abortion and handle it on her own, and she didn't choose to do that. And so he just separated, never took accountability until God got a hold of his heart. I'll tell you, there's only one thing that can heal the human heart and put us back together. We're so broken, but Jesus Christ can heal us. And I want you to know, men, your call today is to be a man of God, to understand what that means and live that. It's not about being religious, but being real so God can be real. And I want to encourage you, plan to be here next Sunday night. Amen? Let's do this. Say, I will.
I will.
All right. Now, if any of you men just slipped on and just kind of said, I will. No, I want to hear the male voice really strong. Say, I will.
I will.
All right. And ladies, remind them, okay? Pat Pitton's going to come share a word of testimony, because I'm going to talk to you about the word of your testimony and how important it is. And I want you to hear that testimony of God's grace that was there to embrace her in such a special way when she shared this testimony with me. I wanted her to share it with you because it so goes with the message that I desire to bring to you today. So thank you, Pat, for coming to share that. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord.
Yeah. So, but as Paul Harvey says, that's not the end of the story. That night, the neighbor died. Mm-hmm. And had Chris been working, she would not have been there. And that woman would have died without knowing Jesus.
Yeah.
But seeing as how she was home, and she was prompted to go, the Lord accepted. She, and I forgot to say, too, that as she went out the door, the neighbor waved and said, I'll see you in heaven.
Praise God.
And we may not be preachers ourselves, but we are neighbors.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you, Pat.
Thank you.
God bless you. Well, I wanted that testimony to realize there's people that stand on the brink of eternity, and had it not been the fact that she not only got the prompting of the Spirit, but she had obedience to do something with it. And even though she was in pain because she was sick, she used pain as her pulpit. Instead of finding an excuse, she found a way. There was an obstacle there, and the obstacle could have been, too, that preachers had talked to her, but it didn't make any difference. But she listened to a neighbor. And may I say, you may not be a preacher, but you're the reacher that the Holy Spirit will use to touch your world. People will listen to you that would never listen to me. And I pray God will make that alive in your heart. Do you understand the power of your testimony? Now, as we look in the Word today, and I share that with you, and as we prepare to come to the communion table, I pray you can hear with a clear heart, and a lot of what I have to say will be about testimonies of what God has done, what God's doing, but also preparing us for what He wants to do and keeping that flexibility in our heart for faith for the future for all that God would want. You have your Bibles turned 12, and then we'll go into the book of Corinthians, and I want you to be able to hear what the Holy Spirit has to say to you in a clear way today so that we might obey Him and walk in that wonderful love that He's given to us so that we can be able to respond in the grace and embrace of His Spirit, knowing that we've obeyed everything that the Lord has to say to us. Now, in the book of Revelation, it tells us these words in chapter 12, verse 10, says, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down. Please catch who he's accusing. He's always accusing the children of God. His greatest weapon is to get people in the family of God to become accusers or excusers. Either way, we'll miss what God wants to do through us. And he says he accused them before the throne of God day and night. But listen to this, good news. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. That's heaven's sight. That's all accomplished. It's right here. And by the word of our testimony. And that's where we have to be sharp about understanding not only what God has said, what Jesus has done, but our part to reveal his heart in this dark world. So if you understand that, we can walk this out. And then I want you to listen to the heart of the Apostle Paul as he says these words. For though I be free from all men, that is, I don't owe anybody anything, I make myself a servant unto all that I might gain more. And unto the Jews I became as the Jew that I might gain the Jew. To them that are under the law, as the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I may gain them that are without law. To the weak I'm as weak, that I may gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Would you just say these words after me? Whatever it takes. Yeah. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying. Whatever it takes, I'm willing to do. But I know why I'm doing what I'm doing. You see, so many times we can get to where we want to please people. That's not what God's asking for. But he wants us to be able to care and have a passion about people that are lost. And the word of our testimony reveals that he's real in the world today. The real proof of the truth that Jesus Christ is real and alive is your testimony. The reality of who he is a done deal on this side of heaven. But we're called the body of Christ. We're called to be the light of the world. And so many people walk in darkness today because we really don't understand how to let that light shine and penetrate. And we're more afraid of darkness than we would understand the power of light to defeat darkness. Darkness is simply the absence of light. I think in the book of Joshua, when he gets ready to enter into a new time, and he's told that Moses is dead, he knows that. But it's not about what's in the past. It's a new time for what God wants to do something in him. And he tells Joshua, be strong and of good courage. And he goes on to say, have I not commanded you to be strong and of good courage? I mean, he gets right down where I live. This is not a suggestion. This is a command. Now, was that command there because he was going to lead 2 or 3 million people? Was it there because he was going to possess the promised land and they'd have a lot of battles? Now, the command to have courage was so he would obey what God had to say, because everything else will follow that pattern. When you have the courage to obey what God has to say, you'll find out not only who he is, but who you are. And then the world has a chance to see his light and his love. And I pray God can make that alive in us today as we come around this table and understand the power of our testimony. You know, Pastor Jim Jr. has been speaking to us about relationships. Jesus Christ came into this world to show us everything flows from relationship to relationship. And that's what the enemy of our soul wants to destroy. Because, see, there's the testimony of the one who was able to cause a war in heaven and cause a third of the angels to be cast down. He broke the relationships in heaven. He's so deceitful he can accomplish that. He's the traitor of heaven, and he has a testimony of how he can divide, how he can ruin everything that God would desire. But we understand something about what Jesus will do in you and I to overcome the power of the enemy, that we're able to see what he wanted, but what we want, the will of God, will defeat anything the devil desires. In the book of Isaiah chapter 14, it tells us about that war in heaven. It tells us about the traitor and his testimony, that he decided that he would be as the Most High God. He would ascend into the heaven. He would rule the angels. And God said, I'll cast you down to the pits of hell. And in the mix of that, we see this battle that's ongoing, because now he must come and be the accuser of the brethren. That's you and I. He's accusing and getting us to the point of always pointing out everything wrong, so we never see the fullness of what God wants us to experience. When he became the loser, he became the accuser. And you need to know, you win because you follow the one that in the end is triumphant, no matter what you're going through. And it's not about your condition. You may be going through some hard things right now, but he that began a good work in you will complete it until the end. And you could look at me and say, Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through, or you wouldn't say that. Listen, if it's not good right now, you're not at the end. That's good news. Amen? You're in the middle of the matter. And what's happened in the middle of the matter matters most, because of how we not only love God, but we trust him as we're walking this through. I believe that you know and understand this world is a time bomb right now with everything that's going on. And we can join in with the gloom and doom of what everybody has to say. But I'll tell you, in the power of the love of Jesus Christ, we don't need gloom and doom preaching. We need to understand the glory of the Lord and the fact of what God can do. The darker the world becomes, the more the light can shine. And we have a testimony of one that has control of all things. And we can believe for what God can do in us and through us. I think so many times we come wondering why God doesn't do more. But he's waiting on us to do something with what we already know. You know, it doesn't bother me so much about what I don't know about the Word of God. What bothers me is how much I know and how much I obey of what he has to say. That makes all the difference, because that's what I'll give an account for. When I think of the testimony of this table, of Jesus Christ loving us so much, coming and giving his life and his blood that accomplished everything that needs to be done for the cleansing of sin. Boy, I'll tell you what, I hope that never becomes stale in your life. There's something that stirs you up, that you had a God that loved you that much, and he loves you every day. You wake up in that love. You're bathed in that love. That love is there to watch over you in the darkest night, in the darkest circumstances that you go through. But he wants us to come and fulfill his commandment. You know, when Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? He said, you love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Amen? And then love your neighbor as you love yourself. By the way, some people don't feel very good about themselves. There's some folks, I would not want them to love me like they love themselves, because that would not be a good thing. But see, when you understand how much God loves you, see, he never commands you to do something he hasn't already done. He loved you with all his heart, all his mind, all of his strength, and he asks you to do what he's done. And that allows a divine connection, and that we can celebrate around this table with that understanding. I know I'm not worthy, but I'm so thankful that he sees worth in me. And what I do is place more value on what he's done right than what I've done wrong. And in that, I can find forgiveness. I can walk with him, and I can obey that command, and I can begin to grow in the grace of God, that I can understand the blood has defeated the devil, but he wants to stretch us as the church to be able to reach forth and touch our world with our testimony. And obstacles that we have in our way all the time that are there to stop us from talking about the things of God. People saying, don't get into religion. Don't bring your religion to work. Well, I'm okay for that. Don't bring religion. But don't you leave your relationship with God at home. You let it be real. And you find the wisdom that God will give you to be able to shine in the place that he's planted you. We need to have the word of our testimony to be there for people that are going through hard things, and we need to be willing to obey what God has to say. We are so self-conscious, so man-conscious. We need to be called back to being God-conscious. Does that mean we're a bunch of preachers just blasting everybody? Listen, if there's anything today of fanaticism, it's a fanaticism of silence. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Jesus grew in favor with God and with men. How long has it been since you asked God to give you favor with people you work with? How long has it been since you said, today I'd like to have an opportunity to speak into the world where I see things are wrong, and I'd like to be able to tell them my story, my testimony? By the way, that's what your testimony is. It's your story. It's the story of how you came to Jesus. They may never listen to a preacher up there because they just think he was born a preacher. And I want you to know the reality of you telling that story, coming to their world, coming to where they're at, to bring them where Jesus wants them to be, can touch their heart in such a deep way, because they know you. They can come to know him. And I believe the Holy Spirit is going to cause an awakening in the church that we're going to see more and more, where pastors and priests understand the real deal
church
of having to preach sermons, but to prepare you for the work of the ministry of what God wants to do in your world, and not just what happens here on Sunday, but what we do on Monday. The reality of what it was for Chris to be able to lead her neighbor to the Lord, that understanding and that joy that comes with that is something that has to grip the heart of the church once again. Now, we've been stretched a lot in the past to do what we do for the Lord. And by the way, everything we do, I want to know why we're doing it. Amen. You know, I've seen people do a lot of things, and I always want to know what motivates you to do that. And when I find out what motivates them, I can be stretched a long ways if it's good. If they're just some kind of hype, then I'm not concerned about that. I'm not interested in that. I want it to be something about things that are going to last, fruit that will remain, the fact that we can really learn to grow up by grace, and that we can mature. Maturity is where you begin to live beyond feelings. Listen, I can have all kind of good feelings on Sunday. I can preach the word. I can hear a song. I can hear music. And I get emotional, and I make emotional decisions. But those decisions can leave as fast as my emotions. Amen? And how many times has it been that the Spirit of God would speak to us? And listen, maturity is saying this, and I've said to it many times, you can only be young once, but you can be immature all your life. And God's saying by His grace, grow up and understand what I'll do. You see, maturity is when you go beyond your feelings and you operate in faith. You operate in the fact of what God has said. You not only love the Lord, you trust Him for what He'll do in your life. And if it doesn't seem like anything's happening out here, if you prayed, then know that you've obeyed. And even if it doesn't seem like anything's happening out here, you need to know because you obeyed. That's the greatest reward there could ever be. And there'll be times that you'll see something happen. I prayed for people on an airplane. I got talking to them in an airplane and led them to the Lord. That was a marvelous thing. That doesn't always happen, no. I prayed for people that I prayed for 30 years. My brother was one of them. It was almost 35 years. My mom said, your assignment, Jim, your final assignment, make sure Bill gets to know the Lord. And I prayed. I did everything. I brought him to every service. I did everything I could do to try to reach him. But it wasn't until we stretched and brought the power team that I saw him come to Christ. And we have to stretch and do some things to reach out in the community. We have to do some things that are not always comfortable to be able to see what God's grace wants to do in our mix. And I thank you for being a church family that's open to the Father's leading and flexible for what God wants to move in faith, in function, for what He's done in the past, but also what He's going to do in the future. I'm so glad that I can come to a church family where I can speak openly of the things that we've done, but also preparing for the things God will do, that we never become people to just know what God has said, but we know by the power of the Holy Spirit what He's saying. It's an up-to-date experience. You know, I think about the little church, and when we had the funeral service for Lonnie, Lonnie and Judy go back to the little church down on 8th Avenue. They go back further than I did, and they remember when the church closed. And that's why we call this the Church of the Open Door, because they were going to close it and keep it closed. And the Lord said, when we come up here, I've set an open door before you, and no man can shut it, because He builds the church. But it's people, it's not buildings, but an understanding of that grace that's there. And I think about in that little church of someone coming to me and saying, Jim, what about if we rent the theater and we go downtown and we'll show the Billy Graham films, and we have to guarantee $2,600 for that week to be able to rent the theater, and we can just show this ongoing. We could show it 21 times in a week. And I was still in the back of the church making $25 a week. So I want to tell you something. $2,600 was a lot of money. And I had not been in a theater since I got saved. I wasn't sure if Jesus came while I was in a theater that He'd take me. Now, that was old-time Pentecost. I found the grace of God expands there. Amen? So we're okay. I go to movies too. But I'll never forget going into that movie. And there was 900 people. This is the old theater. 900 people packed in that theater. And I was kind of nervous. This wasn't the setting of being in the church. The movie ended, and I walked out, and they applauded. You guys don't do that. And then I said, I want to invite you to come to Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. I want you to know if you'll come up here and believe in your heart and confess in your mouth, you'll be saved. This is a real deal. And I just bowed my head and waited, and I heard people snicker and laugh. And then the Holy Spirit showed up. And it got quiet enough, you could hear a pin drop in that place. And suddenly I heard the seats start popping and the crunch of popcorn as people were walking across where they'd spill popcorn. 90 people came forward that night and received Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And the understanding of that, I gave altar calls in all 21 of those showings. Then they brought in the Dave Wilkerson film. And we did make the $2,600 too, and even more than that, and we gave it to Billy Graham. But we went on in, Dave Wilkerson, the theater brought that in, the Cross and the Switchblade, and I just went down and said, hey, can I give an altar call there? This is on their dime. Can I give an altar call at that? So all that week, I gave altar calls down there. And people accepted Jesus Christ. That's where Roy and Ron Abbott accepted Christ. The understanding of God's goodness and grace and mercy that's there. We were being stretched to reach out to where people are, to love them. But we knew why we were doing what we were doing. That's what's so important. That we never change the message. Never mess with the message. But any method, anything we can do to reach a soul for Christ, let's do it. Amen. Jesus did it. I mean, hallelujah. Bless the Lord. He's my example. When he's with farmers, let's go sow some seed. He's with fishermen. Let's get in the boat and go out fishing. Well, we fished all night. We didn't catch anything. Let's go out and try again. And just to see the reality, when he's with shepherds, he talks about the sheep and the lost sheep. He understands how to go to their world. He was accused of being a friend to sinners, but he knew why he was there. And he understood the power of light was greater than anything of darkness. And may that come back to our heart. And may we catch the cue of the Holy Spirit when he opens an opportunity. We don't find an excuse that we're open to let God do something that may be the simplest thing, but we plant a seed. See, there's two lines in life. There's two hooks on those lines. One hook is from hell to hurt every person possible, because that's the only way the devil can get back at God, by hurting what he loves. That's you and me. But there's another line and another hook, and it's a golden hook that gets in your heart and it pulls you to Christ. Bruce Vanetta was here with us last Sunday night. We had a tremendous time. Great blessing, and so many miraculous things happened. Sandra's got a wonderful testimony to share of what the Lord did for her. And Bruce tells about the fact that when he was young and all the hellish things he went through in life and so unchurched, but he had a grandmother that got him to one church service, one Sunday school class, and that put a hook in his heart that brought him back to Christ one day, that he experienced the revelation of God's love. He experienced the great miracle of seeing angelic intervention when the truck fell on him, and it cut 5 of the main arteries. No one has ever lived with that. He saw the angels, the angelic intervention. He's written the books on that. He's been on television and around the world with it. All these things going on, and we'll have Bruce back. But see, that golden hook, the power of the Word of God, it has to come through the conduit of people that know and love Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul said this, "Your living epistles, known and read of all men." People read your life quicker than they'll ever read this Bible. I don't care what translation. The best translation is the living Bible. And that's not a book. It's people like you and me that live out our life in love for Jesus. You know, I couldn't wait to go tell people once I found Jesus. I got so excited and found out that Jesus loved me. And I thought everybody in the world would get excited because I was. Wasn't quite that way. But I want to tell you something. I would go and I'd work to get my car full to take in the church on Sunday. I'd spend all Saturday afternoon trying to get people to church because I never thought about going to church. I thought about getting people to Jesus. I thought about them finding the love. I wanted them to know that he could heal the deepest hurts of your heart. I wanted them to understand you have a Father that loves you. You know that film that we are going to see, or you already seen, Courageous, one of the men goes out to the cemetery, and he's the one that never knew his biological father, and he goes there alone to forgive his father and to say, "Dad, I hope you accepted Christ so we can spend eternity together." I went to my father's grave, because Dad died when I was 8, divorced Mom and Dad, divorced when I was 7. Dad never gave me anything in life except life. And I'd forgiven my dad for a long time, but I never thanked God for my dad. And I went alone, and I knelt there, and I asked God, "Thank you. Thank you that you've blessed me and helped me to know you. And thank you, Lord, for my father. He gave me life." He didn't give me anything else, but he gave me life. And Dad, I'm glad you accepted Jesus on your deathbed, because what we never had here, we'll have there. Amen? Now, this is a real deal, folks. I want to tell you, it gets down to where we live. And this is a testimony. And I don't want to walk with immaturity feelings that never let me get beyond that. Because I'll get so upset with myself or with other people, or I forget why I'm doing what I'm doing, I'll never get anything done. I believe the Holy Spirit of God so wants to awaken our hearts. Listen, there's thousands of people in this community that want to know that Jesus Christ is real, but they have a blind mind. The God of this world has blinded their mind, lest they would see the glorious gospel and be saved. And the only hope of their blind mind receiving the light, the love, the penetration of the God's power is through people like you and I. We need to understand how God will help us, bless us, and use us in such a way that we can see the goodness and the grace of God, being obedient to the fact that He's given us the power of the Holy Spirit to be a witness to our world and be able to see them come to that light, that love, and that power. You know, I used to stand on this hill and I'd hear the Holy Spirit say, build a house of healing, a house of hope. And it was okay as long as I kept my eyes closed. But the testimony was the real challenge, to stand with you folks and believe and see what God would do and how He would build a family that would bring that house of healing and hope for so many hearts. I remember things that we did with the power team when we brought them in. That was a stretch. I had never done anything like that, to have muscle men come in from all over. One of those men had been in prison because he murdered a man. And God miraculously brought him out of that. And you'll remember Russ and his testimony. Russ is the one that I was a little concerned about when I invited the mayor to come and visit with us for our gathering over in the Lambsdorf. We had about 1,000 people packed in every which way. We would get 1,200 by having closed circuit TV in this room and then everybody we could get over there. And do you remember when they would pop those 7-Up cans with their hands? It was Diet 7-Up. But they would put them between their hands and they'd pop them and then it would shoot out. Now, I was told that 7-Up would not stain dresses and stuff like that. And the mayor came. She had a brand new dress on. And she sat by me, and I had a prophetic word. He's going to pop that, and it's going to hit her. And it was a true word. I mean, Russ got up there. He popped that can. And I'll tell you, that soda stayed together. I don't think it flew by. I don't think a drop left. It all came right at her and hit her and smack all over. And I want to tell you, that stretched me, but it really helped me that she stretched with me and smiled and said, that's all right. It stretched me in that meeting to look out at my brother who I'd prayed for 35 years to come to Christ. I was amazed that Bill was there, but to see him raise his hand when I gave an invitation, I just stood there. Observing the miracle of God's grace. My brother, who's 7 years older than I, walked by me that night and said, Jim, I guess this is my night. And he began to weep. Bill doesn't do that. Bill had been angry at God ever since my dad died because he thought God took our dad from us. And that anger was there. And that night he received Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. I came over here. 300 people came over to be saved that night. I led my brother to the Lord. That Sunday night, it was a stretch, but we baptized 75 in the baptismal tank. And that was a stretch. But I want to tell you, it's a stretch to reach the souls of men. And I'm so thankful that Jesus Christ loved each one of us so much, He stretched all the way from heaven to earth to show how much He loves. And listen, I just want to simply say, whatever it takes, dear church family, let's remember why we do what we do. And if we understand that, we'll get it done. Amen? We're doing it for one reason, to reach people for Jesus Christ. We will never compromise the message, but we will change methods to reach people for Jesus Christ. Let them know they're loved. I want to thank all of you that are a little more senior saints. I'm not saying you're old, okay? But thank God that you're so open. We can have guitars and drums and all the things, and we can stand and we can clap and we can worship, and you enter in. And if you need to, you can sit down. That's all right. But thank God that you're flexible in your faith, that we can pour new wine in old wineskins and be able to drink in of what God's doing in this day. Amen. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. I think that is so wonderful and powerful, the testimony of what God's grace will do if we will allow Him to. I shared about this in first service this morning. And Pat Hagee came back to me and said, and we're going to do more and more of having testimonies. Because you know, so many times when we talk about testimonies, we talk about the testimonies in the Bible. And that's good. But But I want to be sure there's testimonies happening here, that it's a current deal of what's happening. And I feel a little awkward at times to ask you to do a 2 or 3 minute testimony when I speak as long as I do, but you're going to have to help me for a little bit because I have to get quite a bit done, and I also have to get enough in for our TV broadcast for our dear family out there. But I want to tell you something. Let's be flexible, but be aware, because I'll tell you, the Holy Spirit is going to open up more and more doors. You're going to have an eye to see the opportunities rather than the obstacles. You're going to see the most obstinate person that you looked at and many times even criticized to be an opportunity to share the love of God with. When Pat was sharing with me, she said, when the power team was here, she said, you don't know this, but she told me about a woman, and she deals in real estate and everything, very successful person, but she had a son, and her son's name is Austin. And Austin is 16 years old, and she couldn't do anything with him. He was just completely out of control in every way. And as that was going through his life and all of that was happening, she just absolutely didn't know what to do. He came to the power team, and that night, his life was transformed forever. That young man now is a high school principal by the grace of God. Amen. I tell you, see, that's what I want the atmosphere to be. Dear church, that's why I want us to worship, because, see, it releases the creative power for the Holy Spirit to come in our midst and touch hearts and transform them. Otherwise, you can get a lot of information and hear the preacher preach and get more information, bring no transformation at all. See, it's not so much about our belief, it's about our behavior that really will witness to the world. That's what they're looking at. They can't see the head of the church, Jesus Christ, in the world. They see the body. That's you and me. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. And God's calling you and I to align our lives in such a way that we can glorify Him. Listen, there's a lot of things that are going to stretch me in the future. Pastor Jim Jr. gets with me. He shares ideas that the Holy Spirit's sparking in his heart, and it stretches me. An Easter egg hunt stretches me. But if we can use an egg to reach a young person's ear, we'll do it. Amen? But we'll know why we're doing it. I believe the Holy Spirit's going to awaken our heart in so many ways of how we can reach out. I remember Pastor Tommy Burnett down in Davenport, and we'll be out at his great church in Phoenix in May. But they would bring in a helicopter, drop 100,000 of those little Tootsie Rolls. They'd drop them on the kids as they gather. And then they'd tell the kids a wonderful story and the sweetness of a Savior that loved them. You see, we need to find ways to be able to reach them. Listen, the world does, and the world will do whatever it takes to reach our young people. And I say, church, we need to rise, and we need to realize what we have to offer is the greatest thing, and we need to begin to get that message out in every way. Amen? Hallelujah. Make that real to our heart, Jesus. I really can't find enough ways to express what I feel in my heart about the testimony, but the Apostle Paul helps me, because he's saying, you know what, if I'm with somebody that's weak and they get easily offended, I'm going to be sensitive because I want them to come to know the strength of the Spirit of the living God. If people have a problem in this area, then I'm going to approach. I'm not compromising. I know that. But I'm going to go to where they're at and help them get where they need to be. I'm not talking to getting around people that are joy suckers that are going to take away all your time and all your effort and never do anything. It says in the Scriptures there were some people that Jesus would not, he would not open his heart to them because it says, He didn't because He knew what was in their heart. And yet you need to have wisdom, because wisdom wins souls. You need to know why you're doing what you're doing. But here's the prompting of the Holy Spirit that will open your heart, that will begin to give you an understanding of how to reach into a person's world. You have to look beyond their faults of everything that's wrong and be able to see the good. I'll tell you, there is nobody so bad they don't have good in them. There's nobody so good they don't have garbage in them. But it takes the grace of God on both ends. Amen? And by the grace of God, I want us to be a church that will stretch and flex our understanding of God's life and God's love so that we can be able to overcome the accuser of the brethren. That we begin. Listen, when you drive by another church and you hear there's problems in that church, you hear there's problems for that pastor, please, in the name of Jesus, pray for him. You know, as far as criticizing and analyzing and figuring out what's wrong, I could do that before I ever got saved. I'm so glad I can come now, not just as somebody who's a Melvin Milquetoast, but understand the strength and power of the Spirit of the living God. It's not by might or power of man, but by the Spirit of God. And I trust Him, and I believe for what He'll do. And dear church, I want you to be able to arise. And men, I want to ask you especially. I believe it's a moment, even in this message, courageous, that God raised us up to speak to the hearts of men. 17% of the time, if a child comes to the Lord, the whole family will. 33% of the time, if mom comes to the Lord, the whole family will. 93% of the time, when a man comes to the Lord, his whole family will come to the Lord. That's why in the Bible, when you read about he fed the 5,000, his 5,000 men, the women were there too, the kids were. They just counted the men because the family always went with the father. And we need to understand to stretch forth, believe for what God will do, and whatever it takes, dear church, as we stretch out, let's remember why we're doing what we're doing. And let's join together and do it together. We so need to understand how much we need the Lord, but also how much we need one another. That's so important. We no longer can be fishers of men that are out there with a fly rod trying to catch individuals that way. We need to be a love net. And listen, I remember the words of Reinhard Bonnke, the great evangelist that would minister to 1 million people at a time. He would see 50,000 people at a time come to Jesus Christ. And he said, I was a zero. They didn't say winners and losers in Germany. They said, you're either a winner or a zero. He said, I was a zero. But he said, one day, I'm at number one. You put number one by a zero, you're at number 10. Now that gets exciting. Can I tell you what? The Bible says we're all zeros. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. But God's love will encircle us like it is on a net. A net is simply the circle, that cord, around little holes that are nothing. But when they're woven together, you can bring in more. And you can see the harvest so great. And God is asking us to join our hearts together. Not in some compromising way, but not in a condemning way, but in a changing way. So the Holy Spirit can do what He desires to. Listen, I'm so thankful that we had a Jesus that was willing to reach down to any of us, to the place where we were at, and bring us where He wants us to be. I'm glad it was a Jesus that was willing to reach down to a woman caught in adultery and be willing to raise her up. I'm glad for a Jesus that was willing to meet a woman at the well and speak to her, and she becomes the hook and line to bring a whole community out to hear about the love of Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, just one of you could get on fire for the Spirit of God. You could fill this place up to overflowing because of what the love God would put in you. You would become like a treble hook to connect people to Christ, to bring them in. But we have to understand something about our testimony. Our testimony happens here, how you feel about yourself, what you say to self, what you say to your wife, what you say to your family, what you say to people. If people listen to you, will they get to know Jesus Christ? Not because you're preaching and talking King James Version all the time, not because you're trying to look holy, because you'll look like you've been baptized in lemon juice if you do that. But you need to understand what it is to have a joy about you, to have a peace in your heart, to have an opportunity to share. And whether it's an opportunity on an airplane where you're in a two-hour flight, you get to lead somebody to the Lord, or if it's 35 years, you keep pressing and praying and trusting God. Because see, now I'll close with this quickly. Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come that you may have life. What's he trying to steal? What does he want to kill? What does he want to destroy? He wants to destroy what happened in the beginning when God said, I'll make man in my image. He wants to destroy your image, because once the image is destroyed in you, it will never let him shine through to the people of your world. He's always destroying the image of Christ that's in you and I, because if he can destroy that image, the world will never see the image of Jesus Christ that comes from heaven. And I pray, protect your testimony in every way and project your testimony, because there's people that must have that. That lady, had she not heard in that day, would be lost for eternity, that Pat shared with us a little bit ago. Our testimony lets us understand that we literally stand between the living and dead. Let the testimony of the Lord be real in your heart. And again, could we say it together? Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes, Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, let that be real in our heart. Let the word of our testimony ring clear. And may there be times that we just back off and testify to ourselves and declare who we are in Jesus Christ, that we get it clear according to your word, not out of some kind of pride. I don't know anything that humbles us more, Lord, than to realize how much you love us. And Lord God, if you love us, then we can love ourselves because of who you are. We can love others because of who you are. Lord, if we only love people because they're people, we'll soon burn out. But if we love people because we love you, we'll shine. And I pray, God, make that our testimony. Defeat the darkness in this gateway community. May every one of us do whatever it takes to be a testimony, not just in our belief, but in our behavior. May we know why we do what we do, so you can shine through with your love. We ask in Jesus' name. As we're praying together, allowing the Holy Spirit to minister life and love as only He can do, I'm asking you here today, is your heart right with the Lord? Do you know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Or perhaps you knew Him at one point, but something's come between your soul and your Savior, and you want to correct that right now. You want to get your testimony back. If that's a need, would you slip your hand up right where you're seated? I'm not asking you to join the church or get religion, but a relationship with God that's real. I wouldn't do anything to embarrass you or put you on the spot, but God looks beyond your hand and sees your heart. My sister's in the back. In the name of Jesus, as you lift your hands, I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you come and touch them, lift them, love them, and Lord, that you embrace them with that grace that they feel so close, Lord, that they come clean and close today as they obey what you're saying to them. In Jesus' name. Are there other hearts this morning? God bless you, my brother. May He just lift your heart and any heaviness and the things that are wrong. Don't continue to focus. Let it happen right in His sight today, and that'll bring the release that your heart so hungers for. Are there other hearts this morning? Say, Pastor, I just want to, yeah, my brother, God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, has reached His hand out to you so many times. But today, they're going to connect. And your hand and heart is going to connect in a way that you'll walk out with a joy and most of all a peace that passes understanding. You won't understand because of your condition anymore. You'll understand because of your position in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, my brother. Are there other hearts? I'm going to ask those that be helping to serve communion if you'd come at this time. We serve open communion for every person that knows and loves Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And the Bible says we're not to eat and drink unworthily. And many times I think about that and I think, well, Lord, I never feel worthy. But the worth I place on what is what He's done right, not just what I've done wrong, and His forgiveness. And so I pray today that you'll partake in such a way that you remember Him, but also He remembers you. And He wants to shine through you to this dark world. Pastor Jim, would you lead us in a word of prayer?
Father, we thank you for the power of your testimony. Lord, we thank you that we have the story that we can tell because of the blood that you shed and the sacrifice that you made. So Lord, we do this today in remembrance of you. And we thank you, Jesus, for the price that you have made.
Thank you, Lord. You know, when I talk about being stretched, I want to tell you something. This young man stretches me. I look at him preaching, and I think, I recognize him 40 years ago. That was me. Maybe 30 years ago now. 40. And, they have to do transcribing of our television broadcast, and we have to get 30 minutes in for our television broadcast, and then they have to transcribe that. With the word captioning and that, and they said to me, they said, we didn't think we'd ever run into anybody who would speak faster than you, but then Pastor Jim Jr. came along. He actually does speak faster than I do, and he gets ideas, and the Holy Spirit speaks to his heart, and sometimes when he says them, I think, oh, I feel that point. That's going to stretch a bit, but you know, I'm so thankful that we have the power of the Spirit of God, that we learn together, grow together, and that we're flexible in our faith, that we understand something about being stretched. Why? Because we want to reach more. If you're not willing to be stretched, then we've set the limits. The saddest word you read in the Old Testament, it says they limited the Holy One of Israel. And we set those limits all the time with our mind. And we need to come back to the Word of God and just say, whatever it takes, we're going to do it. And I'm going to let my testimony ring, And there's going to be times that I realize I can't do it, but somebody else can do it. And that's where we reach out and embrace one another. Amen? And so I tell you, I love our church family. I'm so thankful for the grace of God. But it is the kind of love that makes a difference. I believe it's the kind of love that produces fruit, and it's the kind of fruit that'll remain. And because it remains, it means it's reproducible. We keep reaching more and more people with the love of Jesus Christ. I pray for the day that we can't get everybody into this church building. But even now, I want to tell you, so many of those people that come because we were willing to stretch, they're all across this community where people will tell me they came with a power team. That was their time to receive Christ. I remember standing there when we had Ralph Bell down at the high school, and there's a Lutheran pastor standing by me. And I went to give him someone to counsel to come forward. And he said, no, he handed me his badge. He said, I've never had the opportunity to make a public confession of my faith in Jesus Christ. He went forward that night. I'll tell you what, we just got to get real with God. Amen? I mean, sometimes many people get into religion with a really good intent to do a good work. But it's not about that, because we're not that good, but we're not that bad either. Because God loves us, and God will forgive us, and God will cleanse us. So I pray that we can understand that. And listen, it's a word of your testimony that really makes a difference. What really makes joy in my heart is when I hear what happens when you go out. Church is about to start. We're going to let you out of here in another hour. And no, we'll be out of here in 5 minutes. But really, it's the testimony of your life that reaches out to the world that makes all the difference. And I thank you for the testimony that stands strong in this community. Thank you, Lord. May we eat together. Would you hold your cup that we might partake together? I want you to think for a moment as you take the cup. It was at the time in the garden that Jesus said, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And to understand, we made a declaration together this morning saying, whatever it takes. And that's what Jesus was saying in the garden. He sweat drops of blood when he said that, because he knew that was not going to be an easy thing. There's going to be a cost connected to everything we do. See, if you don't know what you're really doing, pretty soon you'll quit doing it. The devil knows that. Your flesh knows that. It'll get comfortable. And pretty soon it's all about me, what I like. But I'll tell you what, when you begin to get the heart and compassion of Jesus Christ, you begin to see people like he sees them. It makes all the difference in the world. Suddenly you don't see all the faults. You're not looking at everything that's wrong with them. You're seeing the potential of what could be in that person. I'm so glad that Jesus Christ looked at Jim and didn't see what was wrong with him, but saw the potential of the person that could be there, what he created him to be. And that's for all of us. And he wants that to come alive in our heart. And I'm not encouraging you to go out and blast people, but I want to tell you what, there's opportunities. If you'll just go and see what God will do and ask him to give you opportunity, there's people that will have an ear to hear the Holy Spirit through what you say and have the courage to obey that. And God's going to bless, and we're going to see some marvelous things to take place. I was thinking about moving the hill up here. We moved 4,800 loads of dirt to get that hill gone. And I almost feel like the Lord was speaking to something about, okay, it's time to stretch again. We're moving, but it's one load at a time. What's going to happen when we move things? I'm not sure what all we'll do with that property, but I always believe this, that God's always expanding and stretching, and there's even material manifestations of that, but it's because he has something spiritually planned. And I don't always know what that is. Some people ask me, what's the plan 5 years down the road? I'm going to obey Jesus. That's what I'm going to be doing 5 years from now, the best I know. And if I can't do it, he will. What I say is, if I need help, he'll help me. We'll help one another. We'll do whatever we have to do to glorify Jesus. Amen? And I want you to, tomorrow morning, when you wake up and you feel the Monday morning blahs, I want you to say to the Lord tomorrow morning, whatever it takes, Lord, whatever it takes. I want you, when you hit the first obstacle tomorrow where you would want to be critical or upset, you'll say, whatever it takes. When people don't do what you want them to, whatever it takes, Lord, whatever it takes. I pray the testimony of the Lord can not only touch you, but it'll bring you to a point that the Lord will trust you with the most valuable thing that there can be, and that's the winning of precious souls, the true riches of life that we can see, that we can embrace and touch by the power of His love working in us. I've said this many times, but I hope you don't forget it. Do not love people because they're people. Love people because you love Jesus Christ. Amen? And you'll never burn out that way. And when you begin to love them that way, you'll have the greatest love that you could ever have to give away to them. And Lord, this table represents your love. It represents the blood of Jesus Christ. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord God, that we can come clean and come close. I'm sure I didn't get it expressed in words today, but I pray for the work of the Holy Spirit of God that will remind us that this world must have the word of the testimony. The testimony of this table tells us what you've done, but it also tells us what we must do by the power of your love. I pray that power to fall fresh and anew on every heart, every home here this day. In Jesus' name, amen. May we drink together? God bless you. And I would like to say, for any of you that opened your heart to Jesus today, if I could have a word of prayer with you here at the altar, I'd be happy to do that. And I also, anything we can do to help you in your walk with the Lord, we want to do that. Now, I hope you can be here for praise and worship tonight. I know this is Super Bowl Sunday, but I already know who's going to win. And so I'll give you a prophetic word. No, I better not do that. But I hope you can come for praise and worship tonight. And I'll give you one last charge, and to you men especially. Courageous, next Sunday night, be here and don't come alone. Bring your family, your friends. Give God a chance. Don't find an excuse. Find a way. Amen? Would you stand and hug about 70 people? We'll go on our way. I love you. God bless you. Got there late and dropped the card off over there. We didn't know to get a chance to shop. This is kind of into that one. Even before there was a drop in the ocean. Even before there was a star in the sky. Even before the world was put in motion. You were on your throne. Let creation testify by your name.
Well, we have a good time.
Every knee will bow and every tongue proclaim that Jesus reigns.
Even before your hand made the heavens, even before breath of all mankind, even before we had to be forgiven.